We continue Be'ezat Hashem in our Limud in Masechet Moed Katan. We are up to Davchet Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top where it says Amar Mar. This Limud is Le'ilui Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Sulika Bat Chana, Esther Bat Ladisya, and Simcha Bat Ladisya Alehem HaShalom. Amar Mar, we mentioned before, Yesh Yom She'ata Ro'e Bo V'Yesh Yom She'i Ata Ro'e Bo. Remember, we spoke about the Kohen who comes to examine the symptoms of the Metzorah. So, from the fact that it says in the Pasuk, U'V'Yom Hera'ot Bo, we see that there are days where the Kohen can choose not to come, especially for the reason of a Dvar Mitzvah, like we saw for a Chatan, not to ruin his Simcha of 7 days, or by the Regel, not to ruin the Simchat Yom Tov. So that's what it means, Yesh Yom She'ata Ro'e Bo, V'Yesh Yom She'i Ata Ro'e Bo. So the Gemara asks, Mai Mashma, from where in this Pasuk do we see the Mashmaut, the meaning that we can derive that there are days like this and days like this? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Im Ken Lichtov Rachamana, Beyom. The Torah could have just said Beyom Hera'ot Bo. Mai Ubeyom. What's with the extra Vav? Ubeyom Hera'ot Bo. Shema Amina. From that we learn Yesh Yom She'ata Ro'e Bo V'Yesh Yom She'i Ata Ro'e Bo. So Abaye says we learn it from the extra Vav. Rava Amar. Rava says Kula Kra Yeterahu. The entire Pasuk, or rather the entire phrase of Uviyom Hera'ot Bo, is extra. De'imken lichtov rachamana uv hera'ot. All the Torah had to say was uv hera'ot, and when it will be seen. Mai uviyom, why did the Torah add the word uviyom? Shema mina, yesh yom she'ata ro'e bo v'yesh yom she'ata ro'e bo. That's how Rava learns from here. Why doesn't Abaye agree with Rava's way of learning? Abaye says, no, the Torah had to write the word Bayom to teach us that the Kohen comes to examine the symptoms of the Mitzorah only during the day, not at night. So where does Rava learn that? Being that he says that the word Bayom Bichlal is extra, and therefore we learn from there that yesh yom she'ata ro'e v'yesh yom she'i ata ro'e. So from where did he learn the halacha that the examination of the Kohen is only bayom velo balayla? Nafkale milechol mar'e ene ha'kohen. He learns it from the pasuk where it says there, according to the mar'e, according to the image in the eyes of the Kohen. The halacha will be decided according to what the Kohen sees. So, being that it says Mar'e Ene HaKohen, so as Rashi explains, Mashma Bayom She'yachol Lirot. That's Mashma. That already teaches us that you have to do it in the day when it's possible to see. Ve'Abaye, and Abaye, what does he do with that pasuk of Lechol Mar'e Ene HaKohen? Since Bayom Velo Balayla, he learns from Uviyom Hera'od Bo. Ve'Abaye, Hahu Mibe'ele Lemi'ute Suma Be'achat Me'enav. That comes to exclude a Kohen who is blind in one eye. A Kohen who is blind in one eye is disqualified from being the one who examines and inspects the symptoms of the Mitzorah, because it says in the Pasuk, Lechol Mare'e Ene HaKohen. It doesn't say En HaKohen, Ene in plural, the eyes of the Kohen. So the Gemara asks, okay, what about Rava? V'Rava Nami Mibayele Lehachi? Doesn't Rava also need this pasuk of Lechol Mar'e Ene HaKohen to teach us that a Kohen who's blind in one eye is pasul from checking? So the Gemara says, In Hachinami, yes, that's true, yes indeed. He does agree that this pasuk comes to teach us to disqualify a Kohen who's blind in one eye. So in other words, it's not the source of the halacha that the Kohen comes only in the day. So ve'ela bayom ve'lo balayla minale. So we're back to asking, so where does Rava learn the halakha that the kohen comes to check the tzara'at only by yom velo balayla. He does not learn it from lechol mare enei kohen, because he agrees with Abaye that from there we learn the halakha of suma be'achat me'enav. So where does he learn be'emet the din of bayom velo balayla? Nafkale mikenega nira'a li babayit. He learns it from a different pasuk there, where it says, kenega nira'a li babayit. The person comes to the kohen and he says, it seems to me that there is a nega tzara'at in the house. Li velo le'ori. I see it on my own, by my own light, not by, meaning I see it with my eyes, not with turning on a light and seeing it. Li velo le'ori. Oh, when is it that a person can see it with his eyes without turning on a light? That's in the daytime, not in the nighttime. So we see from here, from kenega nira'a li babayit, that it's bayom velo balayla. Why does Abaye not learn that din from bayom velo balayla? Why doesn't he learn it from the pasuk of kenega nira'a li babayit? As we know already, Abaye learns it from uvyom hera'ot bo. So why didn't he agree to learn it from nira'a li babayit? The Abaye answers, imehatam, if it was from that pasuk, hava amena hanemile tum'a delav degufe. I would have said that when is it that the kohen has to examine in the daytime and not in the nighttime? That's only by tum'at habayit, which is not in his body, not on the person's body. Aval tum'a degufe, but the tum'a of tzara'at of the person's body, afilu le'oro nami. I would have said that even le'oro, even in the nighttime where he has to use his own different light, that would also be fine. Kamashma'alan, that's why Abaye learns from the pasuk uvyom hera'ot bo, to show that even in the case of tum'ah of gufe, of the body, the kohen has to check only during the day by natural sunlight and not by the night with artificial light. So to summarize, according to Abaye, the din that we learned, that there are times where the kohen can choose not to see. According to Abaye, we learn it from the vav of uviyom hera'ot bo, and Rava learns it from the word beyom, the extra word beyom hera'ot bo. And the halakha of bayom velo balayla, according to Abaye, we learn it from the word bayom hera'ot bo, from the word itself. And according to Rava, we learn it from the pasuk kenega nira'a li babayit, li velo le'ori. What do we learn from the pasuk lechol mare ene hakohen? That is suma be'echad me'enav, that a kohen who's blind in one eye is disqualified from checking the symptoms of tzara'at. Now, the new Mishnah says another kula, another leniency from Rabbi Meir regarding Chol HaMoed. Ve'od amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir further said, melaket adam atzmot avi ve'imo. That even on Chol HaMoed, a person may gather the bones of his father and mother from their temporary graves and to take them to be buried with their parents, to the place where they're going to be permanently buried. To do so on Chol HaMoed is allowed. Why? Mipenesh simcha ilo, because this is actually something that brings simcha to him, that he knows that he's burying his parents in the graves of their ancestors, and that's a source of simcha, according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi omer evel hulo. Rabbi Yossi says, however, you cannot do that on Chol HaMoed because it's a reason for mourning for him, for evel. Even though he's happy to be able to bury his parents in their proper graves, but still he's pained by the memory of their death, and therefore it's asu on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah continues and says, "Lo ye'orer adam al meto." A person cannot arouse someone to come and to say kinot, to say lamentations for his relative that died. Rashi explains, "Imet lo met chodesh o chodshaim kodem hamoed." If, let's say, someone died in his family a month or 2 months before the chag, so he should not hire someone to come and to eulogize to his kovim, to his relatives, and to make them sad once again. And so that's not allowed, according to both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, to do during Chol HaMoed. Ve'lo yaspidenu kodem laregel sheloshim yom. And also, he may not eulogize someone who passed away, a relative, during 30 days before the regel, within 30 days before. As Rashi says, lo yaspidenu she'imet lo met betoch sheloshim yom lifnei haregel, if someone died within 30 days before the regel, lo yiskor savdan laspido, should not hire a person to eulogize him. And the Gemara will explain the reason for this, the significance of 30 days. The Gemara immediately asks, Ureminhu, but we have a contradiction on Rabbi Meir's opinion. Hamlaket atzmot avi ve'imo, hareze mitabel alehem kol hayom, ve'la'erev en mitabel alehem. It says openly in a Braita that one who has to gather the bones of his father or his mother to remove them from the temporary grave and to take them to the permanent one, so even if it's way after the days of Shiva, he mourns for them that entire day, up until the evening, not in the evening. Ve'amar Rav Chisda afilu tzerurim lo bizdino, which means even if he doesn't have to gather the bones, even if they are already bundled together in a sadin, in a sheet, and he doesn't see the bones, and he's just taking them to be buried, still the Braita is saying the halakha that the person has to be mitabel to do one day of avelut on that day when he's going to bury them finally. So what do we see from here? We see that melaket atzmot avi ve'imo is a reason of avelut on that day. So how does Rab Meir say that it's allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed mipeneshe simcha hilo? So Abaye comes and explains Rabbi Meir's words in a different way. Amar Abaye, Ema, you should understand the words of Rabbi Meir when he said, Mipeneshe simcha hilo, not to mean that the burial of the bones of his parents is a source of simcha for him and that's why it's allowed. No. Obviously, it's a source of evil. But Mipeneshe simchat haregel alav. But because he's also dealing with the joy of the regel, of the chag, and therefore the pain of the gathering of the bones is overshadowed by the simcha of the regel. As Rashi explains, Mipeneh Simchat HaRegel Alav, Klomar Harbe Hu Osek BeSimchat HaRegel, he's very much invested in the simcha of the chag, Ve'eno Mitzta'er B'Mlaket Atzmot Avi Ve'Imo. So he doesn't have much tzar in the burying of the bones of his parents. So Rabbi Meir holds that the Simchat HaRegel overrides the Evel, even though he is mitabel that day, but the simcha overrides it. And that's why he's allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Then the Mishnah continued and said, "Velo ye'arer al meto." The difference of gilsaot here. We had a gilsa in our Mishnah, "Lo ye'orer adam al meto." It's the same word as ye'arer. Mai lo ye'arer al meto. What does it mean specifically? Not to be me'arer al meto, which means not to arouse, not to be me'orer. Hespedim for his deceased relative during the 30 days before the chag. So what does it mean? Mai lo ye'arer al meto. Amarav, Rav says, kad hadar savdana b'ma'arava in the west, which means in Eretz Yisrael, whenever the savdana would come around, they used to have expert eulogizers who were professional. This was their parnasa that they did. This was their trade. So when the Safdana would go around Amri, he would say, Yivkun imeh kol merire liba. Let all those who have a bitter heart cry with him. And when they would say this, so all those who suffered a loss would remember their pain and they would lament over their loss. So there was a professional Safdana that would be hired to go around to be me'orer, to awaken people to the sadness of the loss that they just experienced. And so the Mishnah is saying that within 30 days from the regel, we are not allowed to hire such a person. The Mishnah said, Kodem haregel sheloshim yom, 30 days before the regel. So the Gemara asks, Maishna 30 yom? Why 30 days? What's different about 30 days? So the Gemara says, Amarav Kahana, Amarav Yehuda, Amarav. Rav Kahana says, in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, Ma'ase be'adam echad shekines ma'ot la'alot la'regel. There was a case involving a certain person who saved up money to go up to Yerushalayim for the regel in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Uva savdan ve'amad al petach beto, and a professional eulogizer, like we just described, he came and he stood at the entrance to his house. Untalatan ishto, untanatan lo. And you know what happened? The wife of the person took the money that he gathered for Aliyah LaRegel. She took the money and she gave it to the eulogizer for his service, for what he did. Venimna velo ala. And as a result, he didn't have enough money now to go up to Yerushalayim for the regel. Beota sha'a amru, at that time, Chachamim made a takana lo ye'orer al meto velo yaspidenu kodem laregel sheloshim yom. One is not allowed to arouse lamentation by a professional savdan within 30 days, because we see that such a thing once caused that a person refrained, was not able to go to Aliyah LaRegel. Ushmuel amar, so that's the reason according to Rav. According to Shmuel, lefi she'en amet mishtakeach min halev sheloshim yom, because the dead is not forgotten from the heart for 30 days. And therefore, if a person is going to be maspid within 30 days from the regel, the pain is still going to be felt on the regel, on the chag. May benayu, what is the nafkamina, what is the halachic nafkamina between the reason of Rav and the reason of Shmuel? Ika benayu de ka'avid bechinam. The nafkamina would be if this particular safdana, this professional eulogizer, is willing to do it for free. Okay, so according to Rav's reason, it doesn't apply. Because the reason, according to Rav, was because the money was given to him and he didn't have money to go up to the regel. So then that would be fine in this case. Whereas according to Shmuel, that it's because the pain is still felt all 30 days, then even in this case, where it's free, it would not be allowed to do so. We continue to the next Mishnah. En chofrin kuchin ukvarot bamoed. We are not allowed to dig kuchin and kvarot. These are different types of graves, as we're going to see soon. The Gemara will explain. On Chol HaMoed, we're not allowed to dig up these type of graves. Aval mechanechim et hakuchin b'moed. But we are allowed to be mechanech them. Mechanech here means to fix them. If they are already dug up, it's just a matter of fixing them, adjusting them, as we're going to see soon in the Gemara. That is allowed on Chol HaMoed. Ve'osin nivrechet b'moed, and we are allowed on Chol HaMoed to build a nivrechet. Now, according to Rashi, nivrechet means a pool for kvisa, for laundry, a laundry pool. Some Rishonim explain differently that it's also another type of kever, another type of grave. So that is allowed to be made on Chol HaMoed. Ve'aron im hamet bechatzer. And to build a aron, to build a coffin for the dead, is allowed on Chol HaMoed if where you are building it, the dead body is there. It's right next to you in the chatzer, in the courtyard. So in that case, it's clear to everyone that why you are building it, you're building it for the dead body. Rabbi Yehuda oser, ela im ken yesh imo nesarim. Rabbi Yehuda says you're not allowed to build the coffin on Chol HaMoed, unless you already have nesarim, unless you already have the wooden boards with you, meaning they were already cut and shaped before, and you only have to put them together in order to make the aron. That is not so much tilcha, and therefore that is allowed on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara asks, "Mai kuchin u'mai kvarot? What is kuchin and what's kvarot?" Amar Rav Yehuda, kuchin bechafira ukvarot bebinyan. Kuchin are with digging, which means the kuch is a type of vault that's underground where sometimes they would bury a person. And so bechafira, that's digging underground, that's kuchin. Ukvarot is graves, bevinyan is by building, they have to be built. Tanya Nami Hachi, we learned like this in Braita, Elu hen kuchin ve elu hen kvarot, kuchin bechafira ukvarot bevinyan, as we just said. The Mishnah said, Aval mechanechim et hakuchim. What does it mean? Ketzad mechanechim. How do we, are mechanech a kuch, a underground vault of a kever? What does it mean to be mechanech? Amar Rav Yehuda, she'im haya aroch mekatzro. For example, if the kuch was longer than the dead body, was too long, then he can make it shorter. Bematnita tana, it was taught in the Braita, ma'arich bo umarchiv bo. He's allowed to lengthen the kuch, he's allowed to widen it, to make it the right size for the particular dead body. Ve'osim nivrechet, the Mishnah said. My nivrechet, what does it mean, a nivrechet? Amar Rav Yehuda, zu bakia. Nivrechet is a bakia. Bakia means a ditch in the ground to fill up with water, like a hole in the ground to make a little pool of water. That's a nivrechet, and as we explained before, according to Rashi, for the purpose of laundry. So the Gemara asks, "Vehatanya hanivrechet vehabakia." But what do you mean? We have a baita that actually mentions them separately as two separate items, the nivrechet and the bakia. So how do you explain and tell me that nivrechet means bakia? We see there are two separate things. Amar Abaye v'itema Rav Kahana. Abaye says, some say Rav Kahana answered, Giha ubar giha. They both mean a hole in the ground to fill up with water. It's just a difference of size. Giha ubar giha. Giha means a big one. So nivrechet would mean a big pool of water for the kvisa. And bar giha, that's the bakia. That's a small one, a smaller laundry pond that is made also for the purpose of kevisa. The Mishnah said, Ve'aron im hamet b'chatzer, that you're allowed to build aron, a coffin for the dead, when the dead is b'chatzer, so that everyone sees that the purpose of your building is for the aron, for this dead body. Tanina leha. We learned this also in a Braita, which means we see support from the Braita for the words of the Mishnah. The Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braita, Osim kol tzorche hamet. We are allowed to tend to all the needs of a dead body on Chol HaMoed. Gozezim lo sa'aro, we cut his hair if it's too long. Umechabsim lo ksuto, we wash his clothing, meaning his shrouds. Ve'osim lo aron, minesarim hamenusarim me'erev yom tov. And we may build a coffin for him from boards of wood that have already been cut from Erev Yom Tov. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says, Af mevi'im etzim umenaseran, you can even bring wood and cut them to size, betzin'a, discreetly, in private, betoch beto, in the privacy of one's house. One may do so during Chol HaMoed. Continue on to the Mishnah. En nosin nashim b'moed. We're not allowed to marry, to do a wedding on Chol HaMoed. Lo betulot velo almanot. Not for a betula and not for a widow. Velo meyabemin. And also we don't do yibum on Chol HaMoed. Mipene shesimcha hi lo. Because these cases are cases of simcha for him. Why should that be a reason not to do it on Chol HaMoed? We will see in the Gemara, as Rashi says, Mefaresh b'Gemara. Aval mahazir hu et gerushato. But on Chol HaMoed, one is allowed to remarry his divorced wife. Apparently, that's not as big a simcha as the previous cases. Ve'osa isha tachshiteha b'moed. And a woman is allowed during Chol HaMoed to engage in all her usual tachshitim, cosmetics, and to take care of her appearance with jewelry and with makeup. All this is allowed during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda says, however, lo tasud, she should not put lime to her skin, like they used to do, mipene shenivul hula, because for the time being, it's a nivul, it's a disgrace, it's a shame for her, because at that time when the lime is on her face, it's unattractive before it's peeled off, and therefore that might cause distress for her during the Chag. So that kind of cosmetics is not allowed. Hahedyot tofel kedarko. What about sewing on Chol HaMoed? So Hahedyot, a regular person, which means a person who's not a skilled tailor, not a professional tailor, so he's tofer kedarko, he's allowed to sew in his usual way, if he needs to on Chol HaMoed, but veha'uman machliv, whereas a professional tailor, he's not allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed, but machliv, he's allowed to do temporary stitches, to stitch it in a temporary way. Umsaregin et hamitot, Tanakama holds, we're also allowed to be mesareg, to weave the cords that are attached to the frames of beds upon which you're going to place the mattress, right? So the bed board upon which you're placing the mattress has cords, has big strings on it, and you're allowed to interweave them. That's called lesareg et hamitot an Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi omer mematechin. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to weave them to begin with an Chol HaMoed, but you're allowed to tighten the cords. Mematechim. To tighten them is allowed an Chol HaMoed. All this will be explained, Bezrat Hashem, in the Gemara. So now the Gemara goes back to the beginning of the Mishnah and says, remember the Mishnah said, we're not allowed to marry women on Chol HaMoed, not Betulot, not Almanot, and not Yibum, mipenesh simcha hilo, because it's a source of joy for him. So the Gemara asks, v'chi simcha hilo mai havi? If it's a source of joy for him, so what? What's the problem? It's Chol HaMoed, let him be happy. That's not anything that's removing the simchat hachag, it's enhancing the simcha of the chag. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Here comes the famous statement. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, V'chen Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, and so said Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Yoshaya, Ve'amrila, and some say Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, that it was Rabbi Elazar who said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Lefi she'en me'arevin simcha besimcha, because we do not mix one simcha with another. Each one has to have its own celebration. The Simchat HaRegel of Chol HaMoed has to be focused on by itself. If we're going to mix in a Simcha of a wedding, then we're not rejoicing properly for each one. So, En Me'arevin Simcha BeSimcha. Rabba Barav Huna Amar, Rabba Barav Huna says, another reason, Mipene Shemaniach Simchat HaRegel VeOsek BeSimchat Ishto, because he's going to, if he gets married on the Chag, he's going to forsake the Simcha of the Chag, the rejoicing of Simchat HaRegel, and he's going to be occupied with rejoicing with his wife, as he should be, but because of this, he will not be focused on Simchat HaChag. Very similar to En Me'arevim, Simcha BeSimcha. Amar le'Abaye le'Rav Yosef, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Ha de Rabba Barav Huna, this statement that we just saw from Rabba Barav Huna that Maniach Simchat HaRegel ve'Osek ve'Simchat Ishto, de Rav Hu. It's really the statement actually of Rav. De Amar Rav Daniel Bar Katina Amar Rav, because Rav Daniel Bar Katina said in the name of Rav, Minayin she'en nosim nashim b'moed, from where do we know that we don't marry a woman on Chol HaMoed? She'ne'emar v'samachta b'chagecha, we have to rejoice in our chag, b'chagecha ve'lo b'ishtecha, which means a person has to focus on the simchat hachag and not to forsake the simchat hachag and deal with a different simcha such as b'ishtecha, in the marriage of one's wife. Ula'amar Mipene HaTorah. Ula says the reason a person is not allowed to marry on Chol HaMoed is because of the Torah, of the burden, the excessive exertion of energy that the wedding preparations demand, that would be not allowed on Chol HaMoed. So there's a lot of things to be busy with the wedding, and that will take away from Chol HaMoed. So that's Ula's reasoning of Mipene HaTorah. Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha Amar, Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha says a different reason. Mipene bitul piriya verivya. If we will allow to get married on Chol HaMoed, this will cause people to neglect the mitzvah of piriya verivya, of getting married. What does that mean? If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, De isharu nisuim b'yom tov, if we're going to allow getting married on Yom Tov, en adam nosei isha kol hashana kula, a person is going to delay getting married until Ela Mamtina Ad HaMoed. He's going to wait until Chol HaMoed, Sheyeh Oseh Seudah Achat, LaMoed VeLaNisuim. He'll save money. He's going to do one party for the Moed and for the Nisuim. So he comes out with less of an expense. So people are going to delay their marriage, their wedding, until the Chag. Whereas they could have gotten married 2, 3, 4 months beforehand and fulfilled the mitzvah Piriya Verivya. So therefore, altogether, it has been prohibited to get married on Chol HaMoed, so that no bitul Piriya Verivya will take place. Metive, the Gemara asks a question from the following Braita. Kol elu she'amru asurim lisa b'moed, all those that the Chachamim said were not allowed to marry on Chol HaMoed, mutarim lisa erev haregel. You're allowed, however, to marry them on the erev achag. So the Gemara says, kashya lekulhu. This is a question on all the opinions that we saw before. Because normally the wedding celebrations go on for 7 days, right? So you have all the problems that we just mentioned before. The simcha of the Sheva Brachot will coincide with the simcha of the Chag. So, en me'arevim simcha v'simcha. He will forsake the simcha t'chag to deal with the simcha of the Sheva Brachot. He will be toreach. He will be busy with all the preparations of the simcha for 7 days and not for the Chag. And also, people will will delay the marriage until Erev HaChag. In order to do it all in one shot. So, I mean, you have all the reasons here. Why is it allowed to get married on Erev HaRegel? Don't you have all the same reasons that apply to say that it should be Asur? So the Gemara answers, Lo Kashya. Leman de'amar mishum simcha. According to the one who said that the problem of getting married on Chol HaMoed is because of the simcha, Ikar simcha chad yoma. The main primary joy of the wedding is really only one day. So after that, although there is Sheva Brachot, but that's not going to affect and take away from the Simcha of the Chag. So therefore, the first day of the marriage, that's the main Simcha. If it's on Erev HaChag, that's fine. The rest is okay. Leman de'amar mishum tircha, and according to the reason who said that it's not allowed on Chol HaMoed because of the tircha, of the busyness of preparations, ikal tircha chad yoma. The main tircha is only for one day. After the wedding, then there's not much preparations anymore that will interfere with the Chag. Leman de'amar mishum bitul piriya v'rivya, and also according to the reason that people might neglect the mitzvah piriya v'rivya, also there's no room to be worried here. Lechad yoma lo mashe inish nafshe, because since it's only one day that is allowed for him to get married, which is Erev HaChag, so a person is not going to delay, lo mashe inish nafshe, person is not going to delay himself from getting married only in order to wait for that one day. So therefore, there's no reason to worry, not even the reason of Bitul Pirei V'Rivya, because if we would have said that during Chol HaMoed, so then you have a whole week that you can prepare for marriage, people would delay and schedule their wedding for Chol HaMoed. But if we're dealing with one day of Erev HaChag that it's allowed, a person is not going to delay his wedding just for that specific one day. So according to all reasons that were given, there's no need to be osel to prohibit the wedding on Erev HaChag.